96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure. We will be sure. Oh, glory, 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 oh, glory, glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up.
Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Levin Miller. Thank you for joining me. So good to have you in my company. I'm so glad that you have me in your company. I don't know what it is that you people do at 11 a.m., but whatever it is you do, I'm happy that you do that do with me. I'm supposed to have with me the president of the teachers union this morning, and it's because we can no longer pretend as though it's not something that we need to begin to have a plan for. I think the school systems are obviously presenting the flaws that were or are in the original plan. The president of the teachers union has said that she's not sure if the students are ready to go to the examinations. I see the minister of education disagrees with that and says that the exams have started and as far as he's aware, they will continue. And I also noticed that there's been a scourge, if you will, of outbreaks among private schools. And I know on the last occasion that she and I spoke, she said that she didn't have any teachers in the private schools covered by the union. But the fact of the matter is, those teachers need protection as well. And the students in those institutions need protection. And so I'm trying to figure out now, how do we go about it? What is the conversation that we must have in order to ensure that we are, in fact, providing the greatest level of thoughtfulness in this issue surrounding our children? Because whether they are private or public, they are our children. Whether they are private or public, they are our teachers. And we don't wish to lose either teacher or student to this pandemic. Also, if you would recall, 2020 was a kerfuffle, if you will. It was an imbroglio, if you will, regarding our national examinations and what ought to have been done. I am of the opinion, this is a Levin Miller doctrine, that we have not gotten any further in our planning towards what we will do about the national exams. Now, I may be misguided, and so I also want to invite the union teacher, president of the teachers union, to help me with that. I know we had actually discussed whether or not we would just do away with the exams or push it for a year. There are people like me that have suggested that we just give everybody a C and hopefully in 2 or 3 years it'll sort itself out. But I don't know if we are any better off this year than we were last year. And we must admit that May is fastly approaching. And so the teachers union president joins me this morning. Miss Belinda Wilson, are you there? Good morning.
Good morning, Mistress Belinda Wilson.
Mistress Belinda Wilson, my apologies. How are you, Madam President?
I'm excellent, and it's my pleasure to be with you this morning.
It's always a pleasure to have you. Now, let me start off, because I promised someone that I would. I'm told that you are going to be under great scrutiny this morning. I advised a friend of mine, Corvell Pyfrom, that I would have you on this morning, and he said, you please tell Madam President that I am going to be listening with bated breath to hear what it is that she has to say in this regard. So I want to just let you know that there are some people out there that are particularly tuned in this morning.
I'm always under scrutiny. So
Okay, so, Madam President, we are at May again. We are 1 week away from May. And if you know anything about the school's calendar, you know that this is the national exam pocket or window. I see that you said about a week ago that you do not believe that the students are ready to do the examination. Well, how do you make that assessment?
Well, okay, first of all, my assessment is made based on information that I receive directly from teachers. Mm-hmm. So you know that the teachers are on the ground. And what I try to do as a president, as a leader, I try to contact teachers at various schools. So not only our shop stewards or assistant shop stewards, but I speak with teachers who are in the classrooms daily. So the teachers have already stated that the timelines for them to complete the content, complete the work, is insufficient. So they will not be able to complete the syllabus, the content for especially for this last year, for the examinations. Mm-hmm. There are challenges for coursework. Mm-hmm. And you would note that if you're doing a subject that calls for coursework, then you need to purchase, your parents would need to purchase material for you to provide this coursework. So you're talking, if you are in clothing and construction, then you may have to make a skirt. Mm-hmm. So you need to put, the cloth needs to be purchased. You need the zipper or the buttons or the thread or whatever material and equipment you need to produce this coursework at the end of the period or in time for to be submitted for the examinations. So you know that parents are not working, a lot of them. So that is a challenge. Then there's been a lot of man hours lost, contact hours lost, because you would know that school was to open September. It did not open until October. Mm-hmm. Then we closed for a midterm break.
Right.
And then for a Christmas break. We were supposed to open in January. We opened February the 5th. Mm-hmm. So think about those days that have been lost, and they are contact hours where teachers are teaching content and trying to complete the syllabus for the children to be prepared for the national examination. So those are some of the concerns right off.
So Madam President, if I'm understanding correctly, it is because of the fact that we haven't been able to keep the calendar of the school year as continuous as possible, that you're saying that children aren't prepared to do the examination. But if you remember last year, the minister would have suggested that many of these children are actually quite invested in their own education. Many of them put in the amount of hours necessary in order to ensure that they're able to be ready for examinations. And some of them that have actually lost face-to-face time found it feasible to actually be able to do their classes virtually and have at-home study time, which is something that they had actually used to prepare themselves quite aptly for the examination. Are you saying that you haven't found that? Because the results should be in from those last examinations. And that should be a good barometer as to whether or not the minister's assessment was right at that time. What exactly did you see in the last results?
The results are in from the last time. Mm-hmm. And you would note that they talked about an increase in the exam results being on the higher end, the better grades. But when you drill down, those better grades came mostly from the private schools. Mm-hmm. And there are 8 different styles of learning. So the child who can learn virtually would be ideal for them. Mm-hmm. But then you would have some other students who need that face-to-face, who need that hands-on, who needs the revision from the teacher to say, hey, this is what you produced last week. However, I corrected it, and you need to go over this. They need that individual attention. And so I would venture to say that the examination results for last year's exams were poor. Mm-hmm. And although education would have tried to smooth it off and say, oh, the children did well, if when you drill down, you will realize that there were thousands of students who did not sit the examinations. Mm-hmm. And the ones who would have received the better grades would have been from the private school when you talk about the increase mm-hmm. of the better grades. But I must say, hats off to the student from C.H. Reeves who got the highest grades actually in the country.
Okay.
For BJC. So C.H. Reeves is still doing a great job. They're the Raptors.
So if we, as we grapple, Madam President, with COVID, something that we are beginning more and more each day to accept is not a quick fix, something that's not going away. As we grapple with it more and more each day, last year the thought was maybe we should just cancel the examination calendar. This year you're saying that the children still won't be prepared, and I am wondering, is the suggestion to cancel the examination calendar again? And then if it is, how many more cycles of examination cancellations do you think would be necessary?
Okay, let's before I answer about the examinations, let's go to what education would have said.
Sure.
Education said that there were a large number of students who have not attended virtual, face-to-face, or any type of education or learning from last year, March. Mm. So we're talking about thousands. Some, based on their numbers, we're talking about 14,400. Mm-hmm. And I would say that their number of 14,400, I say it's on the low end.
Wow.
So
of children not having any engagement at all in a 12-month window?
Did not engage, or there was a small number that they said would have signed on once. Mm-hmm. So, and then, you know, if they signed on once, as I would have said for all of last year, signing on did not mean that they were learning or they were accessing classes, because signing on, a lot of them were knocked off. A lot of them signed on and were unable to get into classes. Mm-hmm. So the LMS platform, and we say today, is still inadequate, but thank God teachers have used their platforms, the Zoom and the Edmodo and the Google Classroom. And some teachers have paid for their virtual platforms so that they can teach their students. Mm. And let me tell you what also happened to last year. And I think I have a good rapport with the media, mm-hmm. but sometimes the media gives you just a line or a snippet, mm-hmm. because in me talking about canceling the sitting of the examinations means you do not physically go and sit in a classroom. Mm-hmm. I also recommended the predicted grades, and that is what Cambridge is doing. And you, last year, Cambridge is the assessment, Cambridge Assessment International Education. That's a division of Cambridge Assessment. And they provide support for international qualifications and offerings for examinations. So they have a contract with the Bahamas mm-hmm. for our BGCSE. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying to you, last year, 2020, Cambridge canceled in 10,000 schools and 160 countries. Mm-hmm. They canceled the sitting of the examinations.
Okay.
And they used the predicted grades. Mm-hmm. And so I'm saying again, even if, although that we're in the third wave, and we're seeing numbers today that are greater than we saw 1 year ago, mm-hmm. but the Ministry and Department of Education insists that we will be sitting examinations, then I'm saying if we are going to sit examinations, we still should have a contingency plan, because it seems to me now, based on all of these schools, so right now as we speak, C.H. Reeves has been added to the schools that the teachers have left at 12 o'clock because there's a COVID positive case. J.A. Pinder in Sandy Point, Abaco, they're closed for the rest of the week because of COVID positive cases. So the reality is that we're in a third wave. So 1 year later, has the Ministry of Education provided a contingency plan for running the examinations, for school assessment? No. And all they keep telling me is, go to the strategic plan that we provided. I call their strategic plan a glossy book with words that are written, and the words will not lift themselves off of the paper. You need an action plan. You need someone monitoring and assessing what is being done in your plan or from your plan on a day-to-day basis.
Now, let me ask you this. Sorry, Madam President, but I want to ask you, what exactly is the temperature of the relationship as presently between the union and the Ministry of Education, the Department of Education, the Minister of Education? Is there an open line of communication where things are not just talked about, but talked about and then actioned? Do you repose good confidence in the minister and or his director and suggest or would believe or would confess that there has been a bit of affluence between you all and that things are a bit less contentious this year than they were last year, and possibly we may see some progress between the Ministry of Education and the Union of Teachers?
Well, first of all, I must say that they're found wanting, and I believe what the major problem is of the minister in particular and the director is that they take the critique that is given, the constructive criticism that is given, they take it personal. And if they would go back, not even before I was the president, or even, let's say, 20 years ago, actually, my husband would have pulled some of the clippings from past presidents or past officers from the Bahamas Union of Teachers. And the things that I am lamenting today, 25, 30 years later, are the same things that they were lamenting. And so it is a systematic problem. The system is systemic. So ministers come and go. The present minister is the seventh minister that I've encountered from I was in the Bahamas Union of Teachers. The seventh minister. So if you go back, it's the same problems. Communication, the lack thereof, or the timely manner in which they communicate. The problems are teacher shortages. The problems are, as we speak today, payday. We have teachers without salaries. We have teachers who have not received rental allowances for the last 3-4 months. We have subject coordinators who have not received their allowances for the past year. We have people who have invigilated and marked the same examinations last year that they had BJC and BGCSE exams. And they messaging me today, I haven't received my marking or my invigilation monies. So what I'm saying is the problems persist. And we have yet to find a minister, a director, and I'm even going to put the permanent secretary in there, who are truthful to themselves. Because me as a leader, I'm truthful to myself. I know what my faults are. And I don't hide from it. And I say, hey, y'all pray for me because I'm still working on that part. But they need to look at what is it that the union is raising in these different areas. Is there any truth to what they're saying? And how can we improve? But no, they take the petty way out. I'm meeting with her. I don't need to meet with you. I don't need to meet with you. What I need is for your technical officers, your permanent secretary, when I write to her or him, respond. And I must say, the permanent secretary at the Ministry of Education, some days, I mean, as of like up to last evening, both of us were going back and forth on issues with the COVID and what's happening in the schools. We probably communicated about 10 times yesterday. So I don't have any issue communicating with the permanent secretary of the Ministry of Education. What she does also, she would send the information down to the director. The director has a fundamental problem of communicating. I don't worry about if I spoke to the minister or if I called the minister, because the minister is your policymaker.
Mm-hmm.
He does not run the department or the ministry on a day-to-day basis. So having a conversation with the minister is not as important as speaking with the director or the permanent secretary, who have the day-to-day remit for the things that I raise.
But Madam President, in the culture of, and I call it politics, but in the culture of politics, because it's all politics, the way we do it in the Bahamas, and I hear you, I think theoretically it's a beautiful position, but the way we do things in the Bahamas is every now and again, you've got to kind of call the top chair in order to get things done. Do you think maybe then an adjustment in your strategy with regards to how we go about getting a more open line of communication and actionable plans may then be through the minister as opposed to through his director and permanent secretary?
I don't want you to get me wrong now. I mean, having to call the top chair is not an issue.
Okay.
And previously calling the top chair has not been an issue.
Okay.
All I'm saying is, in our culture, we put so much emphasis on, oh, the minister. The minister is the policy maker who brings to his ministry or department the vision or the plan of the cabinet or the government.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have functioning permanent secretaries, deputy permanent secretaries, undersecretaries, directors, deputy directors, district superintendents, and the likes, then there will be less dependency on, oh, I have to call the minister.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, I mean, if I have to call the minister, I have no problem dialing the number and saying, this is what the union is requesting. This is what we've recommended, or this is what we're demanding. I have no issue doing that.
Now, I think I saw somewhere in the media about 2 weeks ago, the minister had actually alluded to the fact that, you know, people were actually ridding themselves of the electronic devices that had been given to them for the purpose of virtual learning. How, and I know you don't speak for parents, but just from your knowledge of the goings on of what happens in the Ministry of Education with students and with teachers, what has the parental involvement in the education of children been like during this virtual phase?
The parental involvement, and I'm talking directly from the teacher's perspective.
Sure.
Okay. For example, like one of the teachers I would have asked, I said, how many students do you have in your class regularly? 35.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, out of the 35, and this is like in February, out of the 35, how many reported to school or how many tuned? 8.
Out of 35.
Out of 35. So again, that lends the question as to, okay, so where are the parents or the guardians for the others? The other 20 plus.
Now, sorry, Madam President, because the next question I want to ask is, well, then are we seeing, because if you would recall, we went back to a hybrid model, which is one I think my son's a part of. And that is you do 3 days of on campus, 2 days of virtual, right?
Yes.
How has that in any way shaped the student's capability in this last term, and has parental involvement in that effort been a bit more substantive than in the full virtual model?
I think some of the schools, like for like E.P. Roberts, my understanding is that since they've returned to face-to-face, they have seen probably 90% of their of their students.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends a lot of times too, based on the area and if parents are working or not working. So the hybrid model is working for some of the schools.
Mm-hmm.
Other schools, the numbers are low. So it depends.
Mm. And can we say, Madam President, whether or not, because, I mean, again, like I said, COVID is now a cloud that will not go away. I'm concerned, I imagine the listening audience is concerned about what is the plan for continuation of education, safety of the children, and capability for examinations. I mean, is that really something that we can begin to realistically look at? And what do you imagine the time frame will be before we are able to formulate a plan, because we had gone through a pretty decent window of no outbreaks in our schools? Something must have changed, because there seems to be now almost a wildfire breaking out in our schools. And how does that affect the continuity of education?
I'm thinking we now, in this third wave, I think we're now looking at community spread, but we don't have the information as to where are the clusters or which areas, you know, the infections are coming from. Mm-hmm. But okay, if I had it to do with my contingency plan as we speak today,
mm-hmm.
would be this. The Ministry of Education has touted that they've put a device in the hands of all of the students.
Mm-hmm.
So if all of the students have devices, then I would ensure that every teacher has a laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would do is I would since we're focusing on examinations, because that seemed to be the focus of education, although that would not be my sole focus.
Mm-hmm.
But since they're focusing on examinations, what I would do then is I would bring in the examination grades face-to-face. So your grade 9 students, mm-hmm. and your grade 12 students,
mm-hmm.
I would bring them face-to-face.
Okay.
So if they're coming in face-to-face, and I would allow the other classes to remain virtual.
Okay, what about the GLAT students? Would you put them in there?
Actually, I would not do GLAT.
Hmm.
I would not do GLAT, because GLAT is for children in grade 3 and grade 6.
Right.
I believe that those children are traumatized. I believe that their mental state is very fragile at this time.
Okay.
So I don't see the necessity to put them through the strain of GLAT, because I would think it would be more focused and more important to try to cover content with them. They're in grade three. They're still in primary school.
Mm-hmm.
So try to get content built with them. Try to complete the syllabus and give them some mental health and enrichment.
Mm-hmm.
But I won't put them through the rigor of GLAT, because GLAT is, I mean, hours and hours and hours they sit through a GLAT exam. So when you're talking about a 7-year-old, 7-8-year-old, mm-hmm. or a 10-11-year-old, I would not focus on them, and I would use their grades. Okay, like a GLAT student, the GLAT exam encompasses grade 1, 2, and 3. So you have their grades for grade 1. You have their report cards for grade 1. You have their grade 2 report cards. They had an interruption now in grade 3. So I would use the in-class, the homework, the little quizzes, and I would compile their grades, and that again speaks to school assessed grade. I will compile that in order for me to do an assessment of where they are academically. But I would not put GLAT students,
mm-hmm.
through an examination in 2021. So I'll focus on grade 9, which is your BJC students, grade 12, your BGCSE students. So if you're bringing them in, and they have the entire campus to use, then you're able to social distance, make sure that, you know, they keep on their masks. You can give them longer breaks than you'd usually give. You can even shorten the day. And there has to be some modification to the system The system is still running now as if it's normal. Oh, we're 9 to 3. Oh, you're covering all of these classes, all of these grades. The teachers are still being assessed on the same ACR, which is an annual confidential report.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing that speaks to an assessment, a virtual assessment or an examination, a digital examination. And then I think we also need to move to have the examinations digitized.
Mm-hmm. So, Madam President, could you answer this question for me? There are some people that will say that, you know, Belinda Wilson as the president, she seems to always want to go to combat. She's very good at highlighting for us what are the challenges we face in the Ministry of Education. But we would like to hear from our union of teachers, since they are in fact the technocrats. We would like teachers then to navigate the way forward. What do you say to people that say that maybe teachers just aren't offering solutions to the problems?
Okay, let me say to you that teachers offer solutions every day.
Mm-hmm.
And if it were not for teachers navigating from March last year, if it were not for teachers taking the initiative from March last year, the students who are being taught or who are learning to some level, I believe it would have been even a worse result.
Mm.
So teachers give their advice or recommendations on a daily basis to principals or their administrators.
Mm-hmm.
But what we note, and I really don't want to beat down the principals,
mm-hmm.
but we need more principals who would stop saying to teachers, "My hands are tied." We need principals who would say to the director, to the district superintendent, "You would have sent a circular to my school for me to implement this policy."
Mm-hmm.
However, based on the culture of my school, based on the size of my school, based on the setup of the physical structure of my school, based on the equipment and material I have in my school,
mm-hmm.
I'm unable to follow this policy or circular to a T. This needs to be tweaked. And so I met with my teachers,
mm-hmm.
and we tweaked this. And I'm now writing to you, sir or madam, to say my school would run better or operate better if we are able to do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
You following me?
Right. So you sound like you need an isolated formula for each campus. Wouldn't that become what we would consider hodgepodge?
No. I'm not asking for an isolated formula.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm asking for is what they've done. What they've done is they've generalized.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you've given me a general guideline.
Okay.
However, okay, let's say the guideline that you've given to me says that I must have 25 students in each class, mm-hmm. for the COVID, in this COVID environment.
Mm-hmm.
However, when I go and I measure my classrooms at my school, and I measure 3 feet apart, only 15 students can hold in the class.
Right.
So shouldn't a principal or an administrator be able to write to the director of education or the district superintendent and say, "Sir, madam, I've received your general guideline."
Mm-hmm.
However, at my school, instead of using one classroom for 25 students, based on our measurements, I can only put 15 students in one class, and I will have to put 10 in another class. Isn't that realistic?
Sure, that's doable.
Isn't that leadership? Isn't that managing your day-to-day work?
Mm.
But instead of writing to their supervisor and saying, "This cannot work at my school in this manner, but I've met with my teachers and we've come up with an alternative plan that can work. The teachers are on board and this is how we're going to do it," is, "Oh, That's what they send down. So that's what we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we find that to be somewhat of a challenge for us.
Okay, Madam President, I know you hear the music. I'm going to a break. I've got to get to a break. Please hold the line for me. I'm on the phone with Mistress Belinda Wilson. She's the president of the Bahamas Union of Teachers. We're talking about school and the COVID environment. We'll have more to talk on the next side of the break. Don't go anywhere.
Glory, oh, glory, glory.
Have an outstanding real property tax bill? Take advantage of our real property tax forgiveness program. Bring your account to zero and receive a 50% discount on your outstanding tax and surcharge past 180 days. Or get a payment plan. Make a 25% deposit on your outstanding tax, receive a 100% waiver on the surcharge, and pay the difference within 36 months, interest-free. Contact the Department of Inland Revenue at 225-5778 or email us at rptforgive@bahamas.gov.ps. Offer ends May 31st.
For the past 33 years, Great Commission Ministries has been defending the poor and hurting, feeding the hungry, and sheltering the homeless. We invite you to support our Live to Give program and make a difference in these challenging times. Become a donor by giving a one-time annual gift or a monthly donation of $50 or $100. Call Great Commission Ministries at 325-5801 for more details. Or visit our headquarters at 237 Wolf Road. Join Live to Give today. This public service announcement is proudly sponsored by this radio station.
In life, there are always challenges. Today, we find ourselves having to be more self-sufficient, socially aware, and technically savvy. At J.S. Johnson, we are committed to our customers by providing cost-effective insurance solutions. No matter what your insurance needs, we will always be here for you. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Have an outstanding real property tax bill? Take advantage of our real property tax forgiveness program. Bring your account to zero and receive a 50% discount on your outstanding tax and surcharge past 180 days. Or get a payment plan. Make a 25% deposit on your outstanding tax, receive a 100% waiver on the surcharge, and pay the difference within 36 months, interest-free. Contact the Department of Inland Revenue at 225-5778 or email us at rptforgive@bahamas.gov.ps. Offer ends May 31st.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory.
Good morning, welcome back. Levin Miller here, Guardian Radio. I'm Unleashed. Thank you for joining me. You never need to move your radio again because I'm on. And what else would you prefer to be doing except for listening to me at 11 o'clock, right? I have Belinda Wilson, Mistress Belinda Wilson. She's my guest this morning, the president of the Bahamas Union of Teachers. We're talking about COVID and the school curriculum 2021. It's been a problem that has now almost been going on for a year. And I don't know whether or not the adjustments in the strategy or whether or not the adjustments in the policy have been sufficient or efficient enough to ensure that we can actually get education to our children, keep our teachers safe, keep our children safe, and plot the way forward for our educational curriculum annually. Madam President, are you still with us?
I'm right here.
Great. It is a known quote. I think Thomas Jefferson said that all men are created equal and have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I think that was Thomas Jefferson that said it, right? But I noticed that there seems to be a disparity in the approach towards private schools and public schools, particularly because I don't know if I hear any agitation, and I know you do not speak for them because you're not their president, but are not all teachers created equal and have the right to the pursuit of life? Yeah, life. What is it? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Do they not enjoy that same thing, Madam President?
Well, I must say, I want to say hats off really to the private school teachers,
mm-hmm.
but even in this instance, more particularly to their boards
mm-hmm.
or their principals or the diocese that run the private schools, because you would note that we have approximately, I would say, 20 schools
mm-hmm.
that throughout the Bahamas, mostly in New Providence, that have COVID positive cases as we speak,
right,
or within recent times. And I know that, like, right away, the private schools, they were able to send out a letter to the parents and release information to the public.
Mm-hmm.
And their letters were not vague. They you know, it was well thought out.
Right.
And so parents, because I have some teachers who have their children, their personal biological children in private schools. Right. So they were clear as to what the way forward is.
Mm-hmm.
And so they knew school is going to close today. We had a COVID case. We will open up such and such a day. We will revert to the virtual plans that we've done from last year. And it seemed to be a smooth transition.
Mm-hmm. Now, so, go on.
So I also believe that the private school parents give more attention to what's happening in the schools. I think they participate a lot. And I mean, it could be, not that it's the only thing, but it could be because they are paying a school fee.
Mm-hmm.
But I think their advantages also are that they have the smaller class sizes or smaller schools, where it may even be easier for them to communicate directly with a principal or an administrator or even a classroom teacher.
I think communication played a large role. As I move around, I'll tell you what I found regarding children in private schools. And my son recently came out of a private school. The communication line was very clear. Like, you knew the next five steps. And I'm not sure, because he's now in public school, I'm not sure I get that same level of communication and continuity. So there's always a little gray area where I'm not really sure what's happening. I think that creates a little bit of confusion in the public sector. And I can say, because like I said, my child went from private to public, the communication just isn't as regular. And it may be an issue of numbers. But you mentioned something that I thought was quite interesting, and I want us to double back to that. And you talked about the fact that many of these private schools have constituted boards, right? Do you then believe, yes, that the time has possibly come, because you also talked about leadership in the school via the principal, and how that can sometimes be woefully wanting, right? Is it possibly then time that the union of teachers begin to approach the Ministry of Education with regards to possibly having constituted boards, if not per school, certainly per block of school, and that way we are able to provide, especially during times like this time, a more specific set of leadership, understanding, and you know, kind of plotting of the way forward for these institutions, because they are all different campuses with different needs and different specializations, different teachers. And so we need to, on a case-by-case, look at the school with a bit more meticulousness. Do you think that's possibly what is necessary now?
I did not anticipate this question, or else I would have had the exact number for you. But there are 172 schools in 27 islands and keys, mm-hmm. government schools.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a number of school boards. That's what I said. If I knew that this question was coming up, I would give you the exact number.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a number of school boards.
Mm-hmm.
And then every school has a PTA.
Mm-hmm.
And I note the silence, the eerie silence of the PTAs and the school board.
Mm-hmm.
Because the PTA, the Parents Teachers Association,
mm-hmm.
the parents sit on the board. Their children are in these schools. The school board, the majority of the people that sit on the school board, their children are also in the schools for the boards that they sit on. Mm-hmm. So it should not only be the union sounding the alarm. Where is the voice of the PTA and the school boards? Mm. Because they do exist.
Mm. Wow. Okay, well, I didn't know that. I wasn't aware of that. I see a text right here, Madam President, is asking, why does there appear to be greater participation on the side of private school teachers versus the public school teachers, since it is a known fact that the disparity in pay is something that is to be considered in that instance? Private school teachers, in many instances, do not make what public school teachers make. Then why do they seem so much more engaged?
Who they say more engaged, the private school teachers?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. The public school teachers have some of the most qualified, the most dedicated, committed teachers, not only in the Bahamas and the Caribbean, in the world. Mm. But when you have to, every day, you have to literally fight to get a tablet, mm-hmm. to get a dry erase marker, to get a register, to get a desk to sit in front of. So we are dealing with so many other issues before you even could get in front of the class and say, oh, good morning, students. It's a pleasure to be here. Because as we speak today, we have teachers who did not get rent, who have been sent to the Family Islands to teach, Grand Bahama to teach, and you haven't received rent for 4 or 5 months. And I must get up in front of the class and just smile when the landlord tired knocking on my door. So we have a lot of matters that we don't even bring to the public. Mm-hmm. So our teachers are dedicated. But again, we're working under different circumstances. Like I said, the private schools, small class sizes. Even take time and look at the physical plan of a private school. The yard is neatly manicured. The school is painted properly. When you pass a private school 3 p.m., you have the parents lined up to pick up their children. The public school, we have to take all and sundry. So I don't want to pit the private versus the public, mm-hmm. but the issues that public school teachers face are not faced in private schools. And if it is, not at the level that we face it. But I say to you, the teachers in the public school in the Bahamas are some of the best.
Now, Madam President, I hold a position. This is the gospel according to Levin now. I have no way to prove this. But I hear people like yourself calling for, you know, the examinations to be stayed, basically to kind of do away with the sitting of examinations during the period of COVID, right? Or to only bring in the children that need to be tested in grade 9 and 12. My difficulty is that I've lived enough life to know that life kind of separates people, right? And literally, if everyone starts off at the same point, life will just simply sort them out. What then would be the difficulty with, like you have suggested, kind of calculating the accumulative grade of the student and deciding that we are simply going to give those people that were not absolute failures, we are going to just give them C's. And that way, the people that would have gone to college will go to college. And in their first year of college, college will separate them. And the people that naturally would not have gone to college will possibly still apply for college. And within the first year, college will kind of spit them out and they will go back into the working class or working force. What would be the difficulty with an idea of what I have dubbed or termed giving out the gentleman C?
Okay, let me give you, you said a gospel according to Levin.
Yeah, this is just the gospel according to Levin. I don't have any.
So I'll give you the epistle. The epistle according to Belinda.
Okay.
Okay. So there's no need to do it in such a loose way. And I put the loose in quotation.
Sure.
Because there is a a standardized way that it can be done.
Okay.
Remember I talked earlier about a contingency plan and school assessed grade.
Mm-hmm.
So what can really happen is, and it happens in, I just told you, 160 countries and 10,000 schools.
Mm-hmm.
So it's called the predicted grades.
Okay.
So what is done is the schools will provide assessed grades based on the student's achievement over the last 3 years.
Okay.
So, and they'll choose, like, let's say, three substantial pieces of work.
Mm-hmm.
From the syllabus, from every syllabus, mm-hmm. they would use that.
Okay.
They would submit those grades, let's say, to the testing and evaluation or testing and evaluation section.
Mm-hmm.
And that section will have an internal quality assurance process.
Okay.
So what I'm talking about is, let's say they say, okay, we won't do the sitting of the BGCSE examinations for 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So what they will do is the student who is now in the 12th would use past papers mm-hmm. from grades 10, 11, and 12.
Okay.
They would use coursework, mock examination results, and the teachers then do a projected grade that they would have received if they had actually sat the examination.
Okay.
So you have essays, you have assignments, you have practicals, and then there's a standard that is set. So once you've provided this portfolio for each child, then that is assessed by an independent body who would then give the grade.
The predictive grade.
So, and then guess what? What we keep missing too, we have students right now, persons who've been working, persons who have graduated from schools or who have dropped out of school or they've left school for whatever reason,
mm-hmm.
who are called private candidates.
Okay.
So they are sitting exams as private candidates.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you have a predicted grade that is C. I'm going with your
mm-hmm.
with your C, and you say, man, I know I could have gotten a B in this. So next year, God's willing, if all is clear,
mm-hmm.
then you can sit. You'll be awarded your predicted grade with your certificate this year.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say, man, I think I could better this C, then next year you can sit the examination if the all clear is given.
Mm. Madam President, we are fresh out of time. I want to thank you for joining me this morning.
Out of time, but not out of message.
Well, would you've got 30 seconds. You want to give a rallying cry to your teachers?
Yes, I just want to say to all of the teachers from Grand Bahama Teenagwa, thank you so much for the hard work that you're doing. Stay vigilant and make sure that you stay safe. Follow all the safety protocols. And as I usually say to all of you, solidarity forever.
Madam Wilson, thank you very much for your time this morning.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Well, I've been talking to the president of the Bahamas Union of Teachers, Belinda Wilson. She doesn't know this. She's actually one of my favorite people. She says she believed that we can kind of get through this. They need a little more continuity and consistency in communication, and then maybe we'll begin to see some things done. She believes that the predictive grading is something that we can look towards. We'll see. For whatever it's worth, though, we've got to figure out a plan because COVID is here forever, and we can't lose our children and or our teachers. Anyway, you hear the music. That's my time. I'm Levin Miller. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, the station for fresh news and smart talk. So don't move because they've got the news and it's next.
No weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposed.